Hey guys, I'm Chris.
Hey everybody, I'm Robert.
And we're the Film Flamers.
And it's the start of September, the month of my birthing, and time for us to birth this Shooting the Flames episode.
Let's stop being so visceral.
Okay.
We just watched a bunch of alien movies where things are just bursting out of you in every orifice.
That's right.
And sometimes where there's no orifice, like a spine.
Let's have none of that, shall we? We're just going to have a regular release of Shooting the Flames.
Climax, if you will. I don't know. Climax should be at the end of the month.
Yes. Well, no, we just get things out of the way.
Okay. That's all it is. Yeah. All the hard work.
We work backward.
Yeah.
We have a new review.
Oh my God.
It is from CeCe Bloom's second cousin, Denise. She says, helped me find my love of horror again. I found this podcast while looking up horror review podcast and quickly found that this podcast was a level above the rest. Not only do I get to hear hilarious commentary from Chris and Robert, but I also learned fascinating info about movies that I thought otherwise I wouldn't know. I don't know anyone in my life who loves horror as like I do, and after having my daughter a few years ago, I felt like I lost my horror-loving identity, which was a big part of me. In a way, The Film Flamers not only has given me back my love of horror films, but has allowed me to find that part of me that I was losing. Although I can only watch horror movies at nap time, my thirst for horror has returned, and I get to look forward to watching all the movies that I hear about on this podcast. Long live Debbie Jelinski, and long live The Film Flamers.
I love being in the same sentence as Debbie Jelinski.
I love it. Denise, pastels.
Speaking of which, yeah, I mean, I can see how having lived through the horror of birth, being over horror for a little while.
Yes, there's lots of reasons why you couldn't be watching horror movies after having a daughter. That's a really good review. I mean, it brought a tear to my eye.
So moving on to our comments and questions, I first want to, first and foremost, play a voicemail from Jay, which we forgot last Shooting the Flame. So we've been sitting on this voicemail for a while and somehow we forgot our voicemails last time. But anyway, we apologize, Jay, and here it is.
Hey, Film Flamers. This is Jay. I am a long time fan, and I took a quick break from horror because I am currently 7 months pregnant, and when you're pregnant, what they don't tell you is that you become very sensitive to all scary and intense things. So for a while, scary movies were too scary for me, but I'm now getting back into it in my last trimester, and I've been loving everything you've been putting out. And I wanted to ask, I recently saw a movie called The Night House with the actress Rebecca Hall, and I thought it was very interesting. I didn't see it in any of your deep dives. I'm not sure if you talked about it in your Shooting the Flames episodes, but I'd be interested to see what you thought of that movie. There were moments where I was like, this is really cool and innovative. And then there were other moments where I was like, this is a strange turn of plot, and I don't know if it developed enough. Anyways, I just wanted to give you a call because I've been such a big fan for so very long, and I've loved your podcast, and I just wanted to show my support because I cannot put any more reviews on your podcast, so I thought I'd finally put in a call. I hope you guys are having a great day. Love you both. Love what you're doing. Just stick with it. Love it. Bye-bye.
I guess you have a lot in common with the previous reviewer, Denise.
That's right. Man, people having babies and not being able to watch horror, I can't imagine what that would be like for me. I watch horror all the time.
But well, that's, you know, what your own mother said.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, longtime listeners, I'm sure you've heard like some anecdotes when we talked about Alien. My mom saw Alien when she was like 7 or 8 months pregnant with me, right?
In
back in 1979. And then right during that chest bursting scene, like she just thought she was going to lose it. And she loves telling me that story anytime I bring up Alien. She's like, I thought you were going to burst right out of me. But no, I was a week late.
And to answer your question, Jay, yes, we talked about The Night House at length in our review episode, year-end review, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And so I think it was both of our like number ones or number twos. It was high up there. And we did talk a lot about The Night House and what we loved about it, as well as a little bit what we didn't. And I think it also might have been in a Hot Takes around that time.
I think we talked about it in a Hot Takes. And then we definitely talked a lot about it in the year-end review for 2021.
Yeah. So it would have been in like a December or January Hot Takes of 2021, 2022.
And I believe it was my number one horror movie last year. I'd have to go back and
I think it was from me too.
Yeah. We both really, really love The Night House. And I'm fairly certain at some point there'll be a deep dive in that. I think we're just letting it breathe a little bit.
Yeah. So if you want to go back and check that out, we have at least one episode where we talk about it at fairly at length.
But while we're giving out, you know, suggestions, maybe too, Rebecca Hall is in a movie called Resurrection that has just come out on VOD. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. She is an amazing horror actress, and Chris and I both love everything she does in the genre.
But probably not the best for pregnant women.
Scratch that, Jay. Watch it a couple years later. Wow. Thank you, Chris. I forgot all about the plot of that movie.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Being the worst person ever, apparently.
She'll never listen to us again.
Don't do anything I said, Jay. Just wait. Just wait.
From our episode on Basic Instinct, Land of Enchantment Lobo sent us an email. And they said, your mention of Twister and horror adjacency during your deep dive of Basic Instinct reminded me of something about which I've been meaning to comment. The heretofore untapped potential and rich thread of horror adjacency and disaster film genre. The examples are Legion. There are the infamous health epidemic films like Outbreak from 1995 and The Andromeda Strain from 1971, and you've made mention of on the show, as well as Deep Impact and Armageddon from the late 90s, for great debate. But perhaps no two films so pronounced as Twister from 1996 and Backdraft from 1991, with the elements personified as the insatiable villain on a killing spree. How about the fire and Backdraft breathing and lying in wait to burst out upon its victim or creeping across the ceiling because it wants to? Having been near Oklahoma City on the night of the F5 tornado, and some would argue F6, the finger of God, that struck OKC metro area on May 3rd, 1999, the deadliest, 36 killed, and second costliest, $1 billion in damage, there were tornado breakouts all over the state that night, just as depicted in the film Twister, made worse when they stalk and terrorize you in darkness all night long, even exhibiting unique personalities. No one is safe. You know what? That sounds like an amazing pairing to me, Twister and Backdraft.
I think that we have talked about this before.
Many times. In fact, before we ever started the podcast, when we were talking about different genres of horror, definitely Deep Impact and Armageddon and, you know, Twister and things like that got mentioned. And we've been talking about that for 4 years, if not longer. So we definitely plan to visit that genre for sure. But now that we know that there's some interest.
Yes, for sure. And I feel like we've recently had a conversation off mic about Backdraft being a horror adjacent kind of film.
Certainly Twister. We had that discussion.
So I love the movie Backdraft. I would certainly talk about that. And I really love the movie Twister.
It's that line that how it misses this house and that house and comes after you.
It's the only Helen Hunt movie that I really like.
Oh.
Poor Helen Hunt. Oh. But hey, Land of Enchantment Lobo, stay tuned. I'm sure it's going to be added to the docket fairly quickly.
Yeah.
From our Shooting the Flame episode in August, we got a voicemail from Kimberly.
Hey guys, it's Kimberly. Haven't talked to you in a while. I've been busy and sort of in a deep dark hole, but I'm back. So I just got done listening to your Shooting the Flames and Chris about heights. I don't get pain in my feet, but I get a weird tingly feeling at the base of my spine. Does anybody else get that? It's just bizarre. Like if I'm at a tall building and look out a window directly down, I get this little tingly feeling in the base of my spine. It's very strange. In other bizarre news, I don't know where this came from, but my boss and I got into a conversation and she somehow remembered the movie Frankenhooker. That's from the 80s or 90s. Yes. I don't know if I ever saw it or if I did. I was really little. But, what's that all about? So, anyway, it's nice to hear your voices. Have a good day. Bye.
Well, Kimberly, I hope you're doing better.
Yes, and we are glad to hear your voice as well. But if you have not seen Frankenhooker, go do it. Frankenhooker is such a fun movie because when it came out, the video had like a press the button and it would speak similar to your DVD for Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Right. So you pressed it and she would go, wanna date? I fucking love Frankenhooker. And that voicemail also reminds me, I think that we got a DM from somebody, I think it was George over on Instagram, who also shares your feelings of like height fear, right? Yeah. Gets the same sensation in the body and things like that.
So, is it his feet though, or is like,
yeah,
something else?
Not you're not alone. It was like exactly the same.
All right. So everyone gets a tingling somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
To me, it's like my feet just like lose the blood in them or something. Like they just get lightweight and kind of tingly. But it sounds like the base of her spine, and then someone else mentioned something. And yeah, and it's not something I can control. It's like I'm not specifically afraid of heights, but when I do look from a dizzying height or see it on screen, it's like that I get that feeling in my feet. It's weird.
I like being as high as possible.
Also from our shooting The Flames in August, Nicole over on Patreon said,
in reference to the trailer for The Patient with Steve Carell, she says, Domhnall Gleeson, it's the guy in Ex Machina who is not Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten. He's in Star Wars. He's in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And just a bunch of shit.
Right. I still want to watch that show, though.
So, yeah. He looks different and is different every time. He's a really good actor.
Well, thank you for reminding us, though.
Yeah.
From our episode on RoboCop, we got another comment from Nicole over on Patreon.
And she said, all I can think of when you say Paul McCrane is Fame and Paul McCrane's hair and Fame. And he should really thank the goddess for male pattern baldness.
I haven't seen Fame in a long time, so I don't really have that reference in my head.
No, me either.
But we're going to look it up.
Yeah.
Fame. I'm going to live forever.
And why is male pattern baldness part of that?
I don't know.
Well, I'll have to see it.
That's right.
Never seen it. From our deep dive into Prometheus, Kimberly gave us another voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's Kimberly. Checking in about Prometheus. Kind of still in a dark place mental health-wise, but I'm getting through. But thanks for always being a bright spot in my day. I loved your episode on Prometheus. I, for one, never hated Prometheus. I always loved it, and I never understood the hate that it and Covenant got. I thought it was a beautiful movie. The acting was amazing. And I have a particular affinity for horror and sci-fi that deals with the creation of humanity and the like apocalyptic destruction of humanity. So I don't know why, it's just always fascinated me. So loved the episode, love Prometheus and Covenant, and I'm gonna go find them and rewatch them. Oh, and then I could not find you on TikTok. I looked and looked and looked, and I spelled it many different ways. Your account's not coming up, so I don't know if you want to look at that. And then, where the fuck is your P.O. box already so I can send you presents? I have presents. Every time I see something, I say, oh, Chris and Robert would really like that, but I don't have anywhere to send it. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, Robert, where is that P.O. box?
It's my home. Kimberly, I'm just going to send you my home address. I feel like you're trustworthy. And I like gifts. So, yeah, look for a message from me, okay? And she is now following us on TikTok, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, since then, I have emailed her the link. And then I also have updated the links on our socials, as well as on all the show notes for all the episodes since we've created the TikTok. So all of that should be working now.
And I don't know why it was unsearchable. I went through every single privacy thing, like setting imaginable on TikTok. And I think it's my advanced age. Like,
no, really. I've had problems with it too. I had to reach out to help. No, because like I kept getting videos that I would share and get from you and I'd be able to view. And then later it would say age restricted on me. And I'm like, where's the setting that's doing this? So I think they've got some bugs to, you know, to squash.
Good. So it's not me then.
No.
No. But hey, we share your views on Prometheus now, obviously, right? It took us a little while, but we were there. Mm-hmm. And I am happy that there are some steadfast fans of these movies who have, you know, sung their praises since release. So I think that's excellent.
She also must have found Prometheus because she was watching it. And she sent us a note on Patreon later and said, rewatching Prometheus right now. That C-section scene is gnarly.
It really fucking is.
Yeah. So...
We got a comment from Battle Burrito over on Patreon. He says, this is such a better movie on rewatch and not going in expecting another Alien movie.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is the nostalgia lens. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Bennett over on Patreon said, I just finished listening to this and had to add some comments and questions. I saw this twice in theaters, first in 3D and in 2D, and loved it both times. I don't remember it being in 3D.
I guess.
I bet that scene where he's in the engineer room with all the holographics must have looked cool as fuck. Anyway, the manual C-section scene had me squirming and covering my eyes so much each time. I'm pretty sure people down the aisles were looking at me and wondering if I was okay. That rarely happens to me, so kudos to Ridley Scott and team. When the first came out, I remember hearing mostly negative reactions at the time. However, it was the only movie that summer that stirred up debate and conversation between people I knew at work and in public spaces. Again, kudos to the team. You guys covered so many thoughts and theories about this movie, but how did you miss the whole controversy about whether or not Charlize Theron's character is also an android? I remember that being a big deal online, and Ridley Scott even said in a video at some Comic-Con event that there are two androids in this movie. Dum, dum, dum. Yeah, and I responded to him on Patreon.
Yes.
And said that I remembered, I did remember that, and it was going to get in our notes, but I kind of cut that bit from our notes to talk about because we had to talk about so many other things of note. And I felt like, to me, it's not a question that she was not an android. That's Same. My personal feeling, and I think that's yours as well.
Yep.
And so if there's another android, I think really Scott likes to fuck with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when they said, oh, it's obviously Earth at the beginning, you know, he's like, not necessarily, you know what I mean? And it's obviously Earth.
Clearly.
So, I mean, whatever. He wants people to talk about and think about his movies. And he, you know, he's done that with Prometheus and Covenant with the big questions, you know, and some mythology and details and nerd stuff. But I don't know that this is a question I need answered. I don't know.
I didn't know it was a controversy. Like,
me either.
I mean, I've seen this movie 3 times now, right? And I mean, that's not really a lot.
Yeah, the theory is like the androids are blonde, right? And so it would be her and him. But, you know, she could have been, I guess, but...
I just didn't get that.
Neither.
I thought she was
much more emotional and flies off the handle.
And I think when you're talking about the relationship between her and Wayland and Wayland and David, like it's a much better conversation that he has one like synthetic child and one real one.
Yeah.
That he really probably doesn't care for either one of those children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but it's interesting to think about.
The guy's like 105. I think the other android is a hydraulic penis.
Let me get onto Amazon. From our episode on Alien Covenant, we got a comment from Kimberly on Patreon, and she said, these things only do what they're programmed to do, quote unquote. I think we said that in the episode, right? If my robot vacuum is anything to go off of, we don't need to worry about AI because it can't even do that right.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing like a TikTok of this like robot vacuum, and then they programmed it to scream when it would run into things. I think I sent that one to you.
You did. I
Fuck!
Love it.
Ow! Shit!
I fucking love that video.
Yeah. Jeremy from Instagram said, fantastic commentary on this movie, guys. Really enjoy listening to your thoughts on these films and love your sense of humor. Cheers from Australia.
G'day. Thank you, Jeremy, for following us on Instagram. That seems to be the place where we get most of our comments these days.
So, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not even Twitter anymore?
No. It's Instagram all day.
Hmm. What a bunch of twats.
Fuck you, Twitter. Hello, Instagram. So we got an email from Land of Enchantment Lobo, and they said, The Return of the Top Tens. Sounds almost like a movie title from 1983. Now we just need a John Williams soundtrack. I heard the big announcement. Top 10s are coming back. I hope a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror Top 10 is on the docket, because aside from the intrinsic awesomeness of this concept with 30 plus Treehouses of Horror and a Thanksgiving themed Treehouse of Horror in the mix, one of the best and not to be excluded from consideration, I'm sure this would result in two widely varied top 10 lists from Chris and Robert. Perhaps a good precursor exercise to any would-be Treehouse of Horror deep dive.
I don't know that it's deep diveable. They're pretty surface level.
Yeah. I mean,
not excluding the references, obviously, but
yeah,
you know, and I'm a Simpsons fan, but I'm not like a fan, you know what I mean? Like not like Robert. Oh. And so he knows these things like almost word for word, almost every one of these probably. And so I'm really going to not come out with my own list, but I will be watching everything that is on his and commenting for that episode. But yes, I guess I should have led with, we are doing the top 10 Treehouses of Horror this Halloween.
Thank God. I've been so ready. In fact, I made my list like really quickly. And of course, I've been like going through it, the fine tooth comb, you know, so it's going to be perfect. I promise. And I will not discount the Thanksgiving Treehouse of Horror because I really liked that episode.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. So stay tuned, Land of Enchantment Lobo. And stay tuned, Nikki, too, because we have some more top tens coming up after that one. And I know that she's going to be pretty excited.
Yeah. We got no new patrons this month.
Oh, that's sad.
No one has joined our family.
But if you would like to join the Patreon family, please head over to patreon.com/thefilmflamers where you can find all of our bonus content and get some episodes early. I think here coming up in the fall is going to be pretty early.
Yeah, we're doing things ahead of schedule because of weddings and honeymoons going on.
So y'all will get stuff. Like just way before everybody else. Yep. So head over there and do that. But we have to shout out our patrons at the Film Flamer tier or higher.
That's right. And that's Ben.
Kimberly.
Kyle.
Lisa.
Penelope.
Wallstridge.
But especially
Lisa. Since we just talked about The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I mean.
People probably have no idea where that comes from.
It comes from The Simpsons. Just like everything I just say in like normal conversation to people. They're like, ha ha ha, and laughing. And I'm like, oh my God, it came from The Simpsons. I just seem like a funny person. I just copied that show.
Horror news.
We are blessed with some very good news.
That's right. Finally, there's been like a dearth of news, mm-hmm. right?
As we get closer to Halloween.
Yeah. So first up, King on Screen is coming out. It's a new documentary that focuses on over 80 Stephen King movies and TV shows.
That's exciting.
It is for me, especially. Like, I love Stephen King. I love his movies. I like any sort of adaption of it. And if there's a whole documentary just based on his adaptions, I'm there for it. It's going to be premiering at Fantastic Fest this year. That's coming up in Austin at the end of September. And I think there's going to be more festivals to follow. So it may be a while before we can see this without going to a festival. But sign me the fuck up. I'm ready.
This seems to be coming on the kind of the tail end of the King Renaissance.
Yeah.
That we've been experiencing over the last, you know, 5-10 years. And I'm hoping that it's not another, like, let's throw the, you know, something or other at the wall to see what sticks. And that it's not just a production company trying to like cash in, and that someone really passionate about this is behind it.
Yeah, I don't know all the details about who made it and why, right? But like most documentaries, I'm sure that it took years to make. And there's more Stephen King news. I mean, they just said that they're finally making The Regulators into a movie, right? So some of his works that haven't been adapted yet are finally getting their due. So I am ready for the King Renaissance to continue, and I really want to see this documentary.
Next up, we've got Jason Blum teasing Five Nights at Freddy's movie and a possible collaboration with Jim Henson's Creature Workshop.
I feel like we've talked about the possibility of this movie like ever since we started this podcast.
Yeah, but Jim Henson actually having anything to do with it, that seems so unlikely for their brand, you know? But I think they're owned by Disney too, so...
Yeah, who knows? I mean, but there
Not that
was...
that means anything now with, you know, the Alien franchise being owned by Disney.
That's right. You know, so they have places to put this, like a Hulu and for sure. But he mentioned something at Comic-Con about Jim Henson's shop being involved. And there was a image that's part of this article that we'll post on our show notes, right, that shows someone working on something that could be... one of the creatures.
Oh, right? Gotta give them something to do after Dark Crystal was canceled way before its fucking time.
That's right. Fuck you, Netflix. we got some news about the new Hellraiser movie that's coming to Hulu, and it has received a big R rating for graphic nudity, strong bloody violence.
That's right. And this is from the director, again, as a reminder, David Bruckner, who directed The Night House. So I have big expectations.
So do I. Actually, and I'm really, really looking forward to it because we just covered those first two movies this year. I watched a couple of the sequels, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of them, like I threatened to do, but this movie sounds good. In theory, it's supposed to be more closely related to the novella, which I've read. So, I mean, we'll see. But graphic nudity, strong bloody violence.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
And lastly, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Psycho actress Anne Heche has passed away.
That's right. had something to do with a car accident, right? She was in a car accident.
Yeah, she was. I think the coroner was saying she was kind of druggy, and there was, you know, 60 mph happening down a residential street, and ran into someone's garage or their breakfast nook or something, and was in critical care until her untimely passing.
It is very sad. And Heche was very, very famous in pop culture for her relationship with Ellen DeGeneres, right? And I Know What You Did Last Summer is one of my favorite horror movies.
I don't remember she was in it.
Yeah, she plays who they think is the victim's sister. They go to like investigate or something.
Okay.
It's a really brief role.
That's weird. And then, of course, Psycho, the remake that everyone hated. And
yeah, she played Marion
Crane. And she also did like a Harrison Ford survival movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most people know her for her relationship that she had with Ellen.
Right.
And then she was found like naked on the highway, like trying to convince people of something, aliens or something.
She has had.
And then there was a breakup right after that. Yeah. I think she's had some mental health issues.
But I do know that her family kept her on life support after they had already legally said that she was dead, because they wanted to make sure that any viable organ was given to someone in need. So, I mean, that was a really good thing the family did.
And, well, you know, rest in peace.
That's right.
Coming soon.
Just like the last several months, we have a lot of trailers to talk about. 8 specifically.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're starting off with a really fucking doozy of a trailer.
Yeah, you've got to get to our show notes just so you can like click on the link so you can subject yourself to Journey to Hell. And this was released in specific theater, I think one specific theater in Phoenix on August 5th, but we just had to share it with you.
It is the stupidest fucking thing I've seen in a long time.
My it's like God. Birdemic for Christians.
That's right. So apparently there's this movie where someone is having a near-death experience after being a pseudo-Christian and just not quite Christian enough. And so he goes to hell, and it's his journey through hell where he meets people like Hitler.
And Judas.
And Judas Iscariot. And some juggalos.
Yes, lots of juggalos.
Winged juggalos.
Yikes.
I mean, this looks like fucking green screen the travesty.
I don't know. It just looks horrible. So please, we had to subject ourselves to it, and you must as well.
I really want
to. And for once, I'm the one that sent you the stream.
I know. Normally, I'm the one to like.
Usually, it's like you or the Jaws in the cornfields or whatever the fuck it is.
I find the worst fucking trailers.
Sharks of the Corn.
Yeah, Sharks of the Corn. Stephen King's Sharks of the Corn. Yes. We can remember that one. There, we have a good, like, horrible trailer coming out on next Shooting the Flames too, so stay tuned for that. But really, go watch this one. It's fucking glorious.
Yeah.
And so is the next trailer.
Yeah, and it's actually a film called Glorious. Starring Ryan Kwanton and the voice of J.K. Simmons. And this is out on Shudder as of this recording tomorrow, because we're recording things a little early this time. That's so right. It's coming out August 18th. But this is about a guy that stops at a rest stop, you know, and then instead of, I guess there's a glory hole, but it's like a glory hole of cosmic proportions.
Yeah.
And so it's like some Cthulian elder god that is talking to him in the stall, voiced by J.K. Simmons. And I have to see it.
Yeah. Everything about this fucking movie, I am just like super, super excited to watch. I love Ryan Kwanton. I think he's dreamy. J.K. Simmons is great. And glory holes. I mean, like,
yeah, it's a cosmic glory hole of death. And it looks like there's going to be gore and body horror and
yes,
other things as well.
And other things as well.
Right.
I'm super ready to check this movie out.
Yeah.
Next up on the list is a movie called The Immaculate Room, which is coming to theaters and VOD on August the 19th.
And it stars Emile Hirsch and Kate Bosworth. And it looks like they're giving people like $5 million or $1 million or something to stay in this immaculate room, which looks like a large, empty, you know, Apple store where they get fed once a day. And it's all like bland, tasteless food. And then they start like giving them things like guns and strangers and things like that. And so there's all this, you know, small cast, one setting, you know, type of situation that I know that you like to eat up.
I do.
You know, and this looks kind of mildly interesting. It looks like something I'd watch on a layover.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even heard about this movie. You didn't send me the trailer for this one. I saw it today with you for the first time. I mean, it seems interesting. Yeah. It seems interesting. I'll watch it. It kind of reminds me of that movie. What the fuck, where they're in that neighborhood and they had that really annoying screaming kid. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. I forgot what it's called. So, and I might forget what this movie's called after I watch it too. So we'll find out though.
As I step off my soapbox talking about not viewing things with a nostalgia lens, we have this abortion of a trailer for Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire coming out October 2nd on AMC+. And the reason I say that is because they've now put Anne Rice's name on top of it and are calling it Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire. And they're changing so much about the fucking book, it's making me sick. So,
yeah, I just watched this trailer with Chris, like standing next to him, and I could feel the disdain like radiating off of him.
I think they found a good Lestat, and I feel like the tone might be right, you know, but they're changing so much. I don't like that they're changing anything. It was needless.
And I felt the same way about, you know, certain adaptions that I've seen, you know, like obviously if I feel really strongly about the source material, I don't want them to change a lot. But I will say that this looks really queer. And
yeah, it's Anne Rice.
Yeah. So, and I'm happy for that. Not that the original movie wasn't super queer too.
Yeah, we saw one little pinky touch. I feel like, you know, if they did more for queerness in the original movie back in 1993 or four,
yeah,
you know, they should at least do as much in this one.
When it's a series, right?
Yeah.
So, series. I mean, they
miniseries.
They could be exploring some things.
We'll yeah, and if it's good enough, then they'll do the other books, you know, yeah, which will kick off, you know, Lestat's character.
And this week or last week, we got some of our first looks at the Mayfair Witches series they're filming now too.
Sweet.
So
shared universe.
But I think they were filming when we were in New Orleans anyway.
Oh, yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we finally got a trailer for the movie Spirit Halloween, right? I think we talked about this on news at some point during Shooting the Flames.
Anything with the movie after its title just doesn't deserve to be viewed at theaters, which is why it's not. It's VOD on October 11th.
Yeah, this movie looks trash. Just as I thought.
Trash.
But no, not really. I mean, it looks goosebumpsy, I guess, or whatever. It's like, it's for kids.
Gateway horror.
Yeah, essentially, right? I'm not going to watch it.
No. No, not at all.
But I am going to watch The Menu.
Oh my God, yes. And that's in theaters November 24th. And yeah, this movie is called The Menu. And it has John Leguizamo in it.
And Cow Eyes.
Oh my God, Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's right. And Ray Fine.
Oh, yeah. He's the chef.
That's right. Yeah. I think this movie looks neat. And it was just a teaser, a long teaser.
Yeah. But it looks amazing.
So there's like people who are going to this destination restaurant, like for an experience, you know, a food experience. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the head chef has got some other ideas, right?
And that's right.
It looks creepy. It looks authoritarian a little bit. There's lots of yes chef going on. And I hear that all the fucking time in my job. So I'm down with this one.
It looks like they're having to like be chained at those tables and, you know, someone's really, Nicholas Hoult is also in it. And
yep.
Yeah. And he's like really into it.
Yeah. He's the one who wanted to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else is like fear of death. And he's like, can I try the canapé? I don't know.
He calls him chef too at one point. He's like, chef, does this have such and such or whatever? And Ray Fiennes looks so annoyed. Yeah. I am here for this movie.
Yes.
Mostly because I like Cow Eyes a lot too.
And Strychnine.
This is also going to be premiering at Fantastic Fest, or at least the American premiere.
Okay.
At the end of September. So if you're heading to that festival and you see the movie, please let us know how it is.
Yeah, because that'll be like a full month early.
Yes.
Next up, we've got the trailer, the first trailer for Wednesday Addams coming soon on Netflix. And this looks better than I thought it was going to, but still I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've talked about this on news items before. I think when they first announced it was happening, we talked about it. We talked about some cast updates, right? And this is our first real like look at it. I'm a little less off the fence. No, is that right?
A little more off the fence, yes.
I'm a little more off the fence than I was. I mean, it looks better than I was expecting. But Luis Guzman as fucking
Gomez.
Yeah. Gomez. Yeah. No.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones is looking a little not Morticia.
And I think that the show really doesn't revolve around them, so that's probably
good. It's really about Wednesday.
And it looks funny.
Yeah, and there was references to Pugsley, but I didn't see him.
I didn't see him either. But Jenna Ortega, though, I mean, like, she looks pretty good.
Yeah.
As Wednesday, and I really liked her in X. And
she's in Scream.
In Scream, yeah.
She's good. So. I mean, it's just, is it going to be the layered and kind of smirkiness of the last Wednesday, you know, that we loved so much?
I think they're trying to do that a little bit. So we'll have to see. But also, I mean, Christina Ricci has some sort of like cameo somewhere in this series.
She does. And I'm hoping Joan Cusack comes back as like whoever the murder mystery person is.
I mean, we can only hope. There's a little touch of Debbie in this, right? Yeah.
I want a Debbie show. Fuck Wednesday.
Yeah, for real. Last up on the list, speaking of Jenna Ortega, is a movie called Pearl, which is a sequel to X, which Jenna Ortega was in. But this focuses on
Pearl,
who is played by Mia Goth, right? Who played both those roles in the movie X. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie. But this is all about the older woman who goes on that killing rampage in X and sort of how she came to be some sort of psychopath.
Yeah, and how she was probably a psychopath all along.
That's right. And it just looks fantastic to
me. It does. It looks amazing. And this, they filmed this without a plan, right? And they just started writing it and shooting it while they were shooting the other one, and then kind of did pickups, I'm guessing.
That's right.
Later to flesh it out. And so this is kind of like a historical in a way.
So they were filming X. They had the location for another week or so. And, you know, the director was there and he was just like, hey, you got some time? Let's just do this. And so they kind of made a movie on the fly. And I mean, it really, really looks good. And so we're kind of, you know, getting a treat because Pearl is supposed to come out this year as well. So we're getting X and Pearl in the same year. And I really feel like when it comes time for top tens and talking about the end of 2022, I feel like these two movies are probably going to be in the list somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But as always, guys, we want to know what you think about these trailers, especially Journey to Hell. You can find links to these in our show notes.
That's right. Well, guys, I think that about wraps up this Shooting the Flames episode for September.
That's right. We'll have another one in October like we always do. We've already talked about Patreon, so head over there and join the family so we can say your name on the next Shooting the Flames. And we had a really good review this month, too, over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. So we'd like some more of those. So head over there, give us a 5-star review, tell us why you like us, and we're going to read that in October.
You can also contact us via email at tiredqueens@filmflamers.com or call our hotline at 972-666-7733.
Come find our glorious glory hole in the Immaculate Room.
And rub our pearl.
You can also find us on social media at The Film Flamers on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, and now TikTok. We have a lot more content coming out for you in September, guys, so stay tuned. We're doing a biggie, we're starting a biggie, really, by talking about A Nightmare on Elm Street.
And A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, the gay one.
That's right. And then after that, every September, for the rest of time, we'll be talking about Freddy Krueger. All right, Chris. Well, I never want to sleep again. I should.
1, 2, I'm coming for you.
Well, now I'll go have some
sweet dreams.
I wonder if I ever sang it like that when I was a kid. I'm sure I did. Like, 1, 2, Freddy's coming on you or something.
3, 4, I'm shutting the door.